Hey, it's Paula. I just want to let you know that I had only one spot left on my coaching calendar, but I decided to open up another hour, which means I still have two open slots. And I'm so excited to meet these new clients and work with them. Is it you? I'm looking for beautiful, sweet souls who are ready to make changes in their life. Maybe something's been pulling at you or calling you, or maybe you just know you're ready because you're sick of the same old shit and the same old results or the lack of results for what you really want in your life. Well, let's go. I know you're ready for more. I know you can do this. I see you and I know you and I'm with you. And I have a space on my calendar waiting for you. Go to my website, check out my coaching packages, look at my About Me page to learn more about me, and book a free discovery call. Let's meet and see if we're a good match for working together. Some of the best investments I've ever made in my life were on coaching. And I was so hesitant to do it in the beginning. And when I finally took the leap, I was like, oh my God, why did I wait so long? Why did I wait so long? You can find everything at ReikiFlowMN.com. Let's connect and have an honest, vulnerable, heart-to-heart conversation about what you want and how you can make an impact in the world. And let's get you going in the direction that you want to be going in. I cannot wait to meet you. Do you have all the things they say should make you happy, but you still feel unfulfilled? Are you always doing what you should do? Or do you never feel like you're enough? And you want to feel better, more fulfilled, more aligned, and more comfortable in your own body, then this is the show. Scared as fuck and doing it anyway, showing up authentically. My name is Paula Schuster, and I'm a self-love and authenticity coach. My life completely changed when I started loving myself again, putting myself first, and being true to me. This is the show that's going to help you get out of being stuck, out of the cycles of self-abandonment, and help you choose yourself without feeling selfish. It will give you not only inspiration, but awareness, courage, and insights to make changes and live your life for you. Hey, beauties, welcome back to the Scared as Fuck and Doing It Anyway, Showing Up Authentically podcast. I'm your host, Paula Schuster, and I just want to say thanks for being here. How are you doing? How are you feeling today? What's happening in your world? My world has been a bit of a shit show, to be honest. It's been a bit of a shit show the last week. We found out that our insurance company, Allstate Insurance Company, is only paying for 40% of our roof replacement. And that was just really devastating news to me. I took it really hard and I pushed back on them really hard and got nowhere. I literally hit like a fucking brick wall. I was only dealing with the claims department, and I've since reached out to my agent to see if there's anything that they can do because I've, you know, anyway, it's so upsetting. And so they're going to see what they can do. So we'll see. And my advice to all homeowners out there is to make sure your insurance policy covers full replacement of your roof when there is damage, regardless of how old it is, because our roof is a little bit older and that's why they're only paying out 40%. Part of the reason why I took this news so hard is number one, because I've been a loyal customer of Allstate for like 30 fucking years. And this is what I'm getting. This is what my agent had in my policy. Like, who fucking reads their policy and knows this kind of shit? You know, so I feel like I was advised, poorly advised. But also because I feel stupid. I jumped right in on this roof replacement thing and I just hit go without like looking into information before I did that, you know, before going and reading my policy and knowing what was really in there. And I didn't know. So I'm really fucking mad at myself for not checking that out and not knowing that information. Especially because it was like the second thing that happened to me recently along those same lines, you know, where I hit go on something and really didn't know what I was getting into. And I should have learned my lesson the first time and I didn't, and I'm fucking pissed at myself about it. So anyway, that's one of the reasons why I've been having a hard time. And I'm working on getting over it, but you know, so that I can move on with my life. But it's really hard because it's like a $10,000 fucking mistake. Which also points to the healing that I need to do with my relationship with money. The additional healing, because I've done some, but it's just not all done. And so I'm attending this free 3-day workshop next week to help me do more healing with my relationship with money. And I'm going to put everything I can into that workshop so that I get a lot out of it and heal this thing I've got at a deeper level. Another not so great thing is my wife and I have been really stressed out lately because we're getting ready to put our house up for sale again. And when we get stressed about this house selling thing, we've had it up twice now and it hasn't sold. And we've been doing a bunch of stuff to make it more, to make it more appealing, I guess. And when we get stressed about this kind of stuff, we tend to take it out on each other instead of supporting each other. So we've been, I don't know, let's just say testy with each other over the last week, and it sucks really fucking bad because it's not really how we want to show up for each other. So I'm working on getting back to my place of peace from within and going with the flow instead of resisting and fighting and controlling. I know these lessons and energies are residual shit that came up with the eclipse that I'm shedding at a new level, so I don't know, I guess here's to shedding at a deeper level than before. It's just not fun in the process. Oh, and thanks for listening to my bullshit that I have going on and for not thinking poorly of me because I'm human and have shit too. Bless. Bless it all. I know that I definitely need to lighten up though and have more fun, which brings me to this week's episode. I am excited to have Marissa Lapidura on the podcast today and to share my conversation with her. She's so easy to talk to. She's kind and funny and thoughtful. And I really appreciated her perspective on laughter and using humor as a tool for healing and connection. And I mean, it couldn't have come at a better time for me and for where I'm at right now. So that was kind of cool. She helps me remember that I need to have more fun in life, that I need to laugh and play around more. She reminded me of that when we first talked, and again when I listened back to our conversation to prep this episode for release. I mean, I have taken life way too seriously all my life, and I am making a commitment right now to change that. Who's with me? Who's with me on this? Marissa is on a journey of embracing imperfection, something I think a lot of us can relate to. And I hope you really enjoy our conversation and take something useful from it. So without further ado, please welcome Marissa Lapidura. Welcome, Marissa. I am so happy to have you on the podcast today.
Thank you, Paula. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. I've been really looking forward to this conversation because we've talked a couple of times now and I've been on your podcast and you're really, you know, sort of going through this journey, this healing journey and this journey back to your authentic self. So I really feel like this is going to be an incredible conversation for you and me and for all of for the listeners too. So grateful that you're here. Do you want to start off by just kind of telling people a little bit about you and who you are?
Sure. So I'm a mom of two young girls, a 5 and a 3-year-old. I'm also a budding comedian and actress. So I've been doing these things for a while. But this stand-up, I'm really diving in now and getting my feet wet and really, I'm really starting to take traction. So stand-up comedy, comedian, mom, cat mom, creator, creative, dabbling in writing, and podcaster. We were in the same podcasting group and I recently started my own podcast as well.
Yes. And Marissa's podcast is called Embrace Failure, Welcome Success. And we'll make sure we have all the information for you to check her podcast out because it's great. And I love all that she's doing with that podcast. So you've just recently been getting into the comedy and the acting. I'm curious, like what brought you into those things?
So I've always been a really creative person, like extraordinarily creative. I just had this crazy imagination, always been more right brain, and I always loved humor growing up, loved humor, just something, just my whole family, humor was very important to all of us, my nuclear family, my uncle, and we all seem to have a really evolved sense of humor. Everyone in my family just is really funny naturally. And I just, it's always been so important to me. Humor, laughing with my friends is one of the best things I've ever experienced. It's like one of my top three things that I experience in life. And that kind of laughter where you can't breathe and you're crying and you're laughing so hard. And I just, that's always been, I just, it's always been so important to me. It's been always, humor has such a, been a big, has always been such a big thing in my life. And I even consider humor, like for me, it's even a, it's a spiritual thing to me almost, which sounds silly.
No.
But it's, it really can raise your mood. It can raise your consciousness, I think.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I totally agree. I love that you're talking about that because it's literally healing to
Yes.
laugh like that, you know? In fact, I've been trying to do more of that, right? And have more fun and play in my life. Getting back to more childlike kind of things like that because, you know, that's an energetic in and of itself.
Yes.
And help you attract certain things, you know what I mean? And I was just noticing my wife and I were fooling around yesterday, and we were like belly laughing from it, and it felt so good. It was so awesome. So yeah, I
Yeah,
definitely.
and there's been studies of people actually scientific studies of people actually physically healing themselves from laughing,
Yes.
a certain amount of day, and it actually has been healing their bodies. And I have this ability to laugh so hard and so long, and it actually annoys some people. If some people don't get it, it can annoy some people. I have this ability to laugh for so hard and for so long, and to keep, if I can, like a few hours later, think of what was funny, and it'll make me laugh again.
Oh, I love that.
Yes, and one time, this might sound a little crazy, I remember we were in San Diego and something happened. It was so funny. I was laughing so hard and for so long, and I actually felt like I could feel whatever chemical it is, like the serotonin or something. I
Yeah.
swear, I almost like felt it coming down and like relax. I almost could physically feel it like coming down from my brain and my whole body relaxing and feeling this almost like euphoria,
Yes.
almost like this beautiful, in a way, it's similar to a drug, but it's just natural and healthy and good for you.
Well, it is. It's our own natural drug, right? It's our own it's our own internal chemistry shop, right? And so that's either cortisol and or serotonin, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's lots more to it than that, but those are
Yeah.
the
Yeah,
cool
I
things.
don't know, but I thought that was pretty cool. Yeah, and then so I just, it's always, I remember in the 80s, I got a TV in my room when I was 8. It was a little black and white TV. It had 13 channels. Somehow I had HBO on there, and I got to see the HBO comedy, and I was way too young to be watching it, but it was what it was. And I would, Def Comedy Jam would be on back then in the 80s, and I would, yep. And I would watch it, and I just loved it. I loved it so much. Just stand up has always been, like, from a little child, laughter and stand up comedy. I've always been funny, but I never thought I could do stand up. I just never thought I could. And then it's funny, my partner, who I think is on the spectrum, he's not diagnosed, but I think he's very high functioning spectrum. And I would come up with jokes and I would say them to him, you know, and I would think they were so funny. And he's just very literal. Like, he's very logical. He's very little, like linear, you know, and literal. And so I would say these jokes and he didn't mean any harm, but he just wouldn't get them. So he would tell me, because he's very honest, you know, he would say, "That's not funny. Like, I don't think that's funny." And I would be like, I got so mad one time, and this is before I knew he's probably on the spectrum. And I got really mad, and I was like, "It is funny, yes, it is," because he never thought I was funny, and I was just like, "Yes, it is funny." And I happened to go into the office and open up my computer, and I checked my email, and there was an email from Manhattan Comedy School, and I was an actor first. I've been doing acting for a really long, like 15 years, so it was like stand-up comedy for actors. And I was like, oh. And it was like, it was saying, are you an actor? Would you? And I was so mad at him. Otherwise, I would have never had the courage. But the anger inside me made me brave enough to be like, I'm going to take this course. I am funny. I'm going to take this course. So that's what got, I would have never dreamed of getting on stage and doing stand up. I was more skit funny or improv funny or just silly. I was funny, but I didn't think I could ever go on stage and do it because it's just also terrifying. But that anger helped me. That course came at the right time. I signed up, and then that.
The 20 seconds of courage is all it takes, right? Like the steps aren't hard. It's just the 20 seconds of courage it takes to take the first step. I love that. So, you and I have talked before about how, like about how our pasts, our childhoods, how we were sort of, repressed, all of that. We were, especially, I think you, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but there's just, you weren't really seen for who you were, and your authentic self was kind of shunned or whatever. If I don't know, does that sound right to, from what I'm remembering? Yeah. And so, there's a lot of layers to that after living that way. And so here you are, all of a sudden getting on stage and doing stand up. How have you gotten to that point where you're able to do that, right? Where you're dancing with that fear, sitting in that uncomfortableness, letting, I guess the words I was trying to find is sort of letting yourself be seen in that way because you were scared to be seen authentically before. How have you, what are the things that you did that have allowed you to get up on stage and do stand up in this way?
Okay, yeah, that's a great question. So it's still a work in progress for me. It's funny because I started stand up, I think it was 7 years ago, and I wasn't ready at that point. I did it. And it was my first stand-up was actually very, very successful. But the amount of fear or terror I felt going on stage the first time. So if you watch me, it's on YouTube, my first one ever. I don't look scared. I look very comfortable, but I am terrified. And it was the kind of fear where, not the good fear where you push through and it's worth it. It's kind of challenging. It's the fear where it's just almost painful. So it was so terrifying. It wasn't fun at all, even though I got laughs and it looks like, so I wasn't ready then, but I'm glad I did it. It was still worthwhile experience. I just wasn't ready to be doing it consistently then. I had more work to do around my healing. But I remember like shaking. I was so terrified. And then I had enough connection to myself to at least right before he called me, it was almost like a whoosh, and I just felt myself come back into my body, and it was almost like you're doing this, you're just gonna do it. And then I did it, but then it was like another year before I did it again. I just wasn't ready. But now, done a lot more healing work on myself, and when I'm challenge in my journey, it's not about other people. And instead of taking the focus off of the crowd or taking the focus off of the results, getting laughs. And instead, this is about me. It's something I love to do. I'm going to find the joy in it. I'm going to find me. I'm going to be up there and be grounded in my body and do something I love. And it's not about if people like it or not. It's not about whether I'm getting big laughs or not. It's if it becomes all about me and my journey, and I just focus on myself, then it's a lot easier for me to get up there because I'm not worried about what if I'm not good? What if they don't laugh? What are they thinking? So that's been helpful.
That's really powerful. Like that, just to put the focus on yourself instead of on everybody else. I love that because then you're not trying to carry all the stuff for everybody else and what they think and what they feel and all that, right? And you know what I also love about what you said is that it's not, it's sort of detaching yourself from that outcome,
Yeah.
right? And just enjoying the process. You said finding the joy in it, and that's really what we're here to do, right? Is to enjoy all the enjoy the process of the things that we're doing, of the goals that we're trying to reach or whatever it is, because once you just get to that goal, it's just one moment in time, and then it's like,
Yeah.
okay, done. And then you're on to the next thing. So you really have to enjoy the journey on the way there. Or what have you got? You've got a second or a moment of
Yeah.
joy versus, you know, the whole thing.
Yeah. And I wasn't ready the first 7 years ago. It would have been too painful. It wasn't worth it. The success I got from that one time wasn't worth the pain and the fear because of my wounds. I was terrifying to be seen. It was terrifying to think I had a right to take up space and go on stage and be seen and in front of all these people, just me, and think I'm funny. I mean, this comes from my abuse and my trauma, you know, but it wouldn't have been, the journey would not have been worth it, even if I was successful, because it was so painful. But now it's really, when I can find the joy, then it's fun. And then I want to do it again. And my biggest lesson for me in my particular journey is when I go inside, when I find my joy, that's when it serves creatively. What I was doing before was, you know, I was very concerned and still a work in progress, but very concerned about, like, are people going to like this? Am I going to be misunderstood? How do I, you know, I was concerned about it being successful or how, what others thought of it. And it's like, and I'm, when I'm, you know, creativity, it's like, no, you can't do that when you're being creative. You can't worry about who's going to like it. It will kill your creativity. And instead, it's when I go inside. Guess what I'm trying to say is when I go inside and become more selfish, and when I become more, this is about me and my joy, then it actually benefits everyone. That's when it has the opportunity or the possibility to, now people are able to benefit it because I'm being, the artist is being true to herself. And that's real art. And that's when it's going to benefit whoever it's going to benefit. That's if I'm on stage and I'm worried about what people think and I'm nervous and I'm worried about the audience is uncomfortable. They see me up there. They see me nervous. Now they're nervous. If I'm people pleasing the audience, which is so silly, but that's where I was coming from. They're like, oh, uncomfortable. They don't want me people pleasing them. They want me to own my power, to say my jokes, to do my thing. And it's almost like I had a codependent relationship with the audience before. It wasn't working. And the opposite is what works. The opposite is what serves and what makes people be at ease or gives them the chance to laugh, if all of that makes sense.
Absolutely, it does. They can feel that energy, right? It's
Yeah.
just like I almost as you were talking, I was thinking it's kind of like me when I'm doing my sound healing, like a sound bath, right? If I'm nervous to play a particular instrument because, you know, I'm newer at it or I haven't practiced enough, instead of then that's what the recipients can feel versus the love that I really want them to feel, the love and the healing. And so if I'm not putting that kind of energy into the instrument that I'm playing in the moment, then it's the same thing. Like they can feel that.
Yes.
So, and I love that you said, I sort of have to be selfish. I have to go inside and be selfish because, that's selfish has such a negative connotation in our society and in our culture. And, you know, I work with people, I coach people to shed the conditioning that tells us we're selfish for putting ourselves first, because that's really what we need to do is be selfish and put ourselves first, because then that is better for everybody. That serves everybody around us, including us and ourselves, or us and everyone around us better,
It
right?
really is.
Yeah. And so I love that you said that, and that that's what works for you in getting up there to do your
Yeah.
comp.
Yeah. Like the last class I went up, I was terrified because this class, it's not, I, so this, the class before this one was an all-woman class. It was very supportive and very like warm and supportive and,
Oh, my God.
and it wasn't, you know, I could go and feel comfortable saying a joke in front of the class that's like just an idea. It's not really finished, so it's going to be terrible, but I felt comfortable kind of brainstorming up there. Then it was just a warm and fuzzy feeling. And then I came to this class, and I'm very sensitive to energy, like very, and like I'm very sensitive to energy. So I walk in this room and I'm like, oh, what is this? Oh my gosh. There's like, it's full of people. And it did the energy. It was like palpable. I was like, where? Holy cow, I don't like this. Like, what is this? Oh my God. It was like my body immediately got tight. It was like, I am terrified. And I went up second. I was just got through it. It turned out like it was a very aggressive class. It was not a warm and friendly class. The teacher is like picking on people. She had like her favorites that she would like build up. And then she was like really like picking on people. I felt like a kid in school again when I had like one of my traumatizing teachers that had the power and, you know, would just pick on some kids and favor other kids, like some of my school trauma. I felt like I was back in school again. And I was like, I didn't know if I was going to go back. She literally picked on this one guy so bad that I felt so bad for him. He was this kind of gruff, almost like a construction worker type guy. And he went up there and he did a joke about, well, I won't. He did this joke and the teacher thought it was a little too insensitive, and he disagreed. He disagreed with her, and she didn't like that he disagreed with her. And from that point, she just went at him, and he kept trying. You know, you have to give people credit who are actually going up there trying. They're so vulnerable up there, and she had him. She gave him another chance. So he went back up, and he did this whole other joke. And she's like, "Good." She's like, "Now you want to do a joke for us? You want to do a joke now?" And it was just like,
Oh
I was
my
like,
God.
and he. It was just, I felt like she was kind of attacked. It just, the whole class did not feel safe. And then when I went home, it reminded me too much of some of the trauma I have. So when I went back home, I was like, I think I gotta drop this class. I don't
Yeah.
think I need this right now. Like, this is too much of a challenge. And I really thought about it and I was going back and forth. And then something in me was like, just stay. You're gonna stay, but this is gonna be a lesson for you of truly not caring what people think. You know, this class is kind of a shit show. I can curse, right? On your one. Okay. You know this class is a shit show. You know you're not going to get any laughs. You know you're not going to get any validation. There's a chance the teacher will come for you. That's fine. You understand that. You are doing this just because you're going to do it for yourself. That was my goal. I'm like, you're not going to drop it. You know what the deal is, but you're going to go. You're going to get up there and you're not going to care what the teacher says. You're not going to care what the students say. This is for you. And to build that muscle of this is for me. I know I'm funny. I think I'm funny. I think I have something to offer. This is going to build that muscle of saying a joke that and enjoying it because it's funny to me, and I'm going to enjoy my perform up there while it's crickets and build that muscle. So I was like, you're going to do it. But I was so nervous, so I didn't drop it. I had to miss the second class because I was away. And when I went back to the third class, like half the class was gone. So many people dropped out. It turns out everybody, not everyone, a lot of the people in the class emailed the owner, was very unhappy with her, which validated me. Because in the past, when I was in those situations, I was always kind of the one to see it and no one else saw it. And it always felt lonely. You're like seeing something and no one else sees it. But it was validating because everyone, she got a lot of emails. And so she realized she had to tone it down. And she actually did even apologize. She was like, I was probably too hard on so and so on the construction guy. She was like, I was probably too hard on him. And I was like, okay. And it was still very tense in there, and I was still so nervous, and everybody felt it. One guy went up, and everybody felt the energy. But by the middle of that class, and I remember thinking to myself, maybe you made the wrong decision. Maybe you should have dropped. Like, but by the end, by the middle of that class, there was like this beautiful shift. People started supporting each other. She toned it down. She kind of realized and got it toned it down. By the time I went up, I was shaking. I was physically shaking, but I said my set. It actually killed. Everybody laughed. Everyone was so supportive. I felt like I found my performer up there. And when I sat down in my seat, I felt so empowered. I felt so at peace with myself. And I remember saying to myself, you're exactly where you need to be. And if you would have, I would have never thought that that outcome could come out of that class. It shocked, it surprised me. But your podcast scared as fuck and doing it anyway. Well, I was scared as fuck. That class triggered all my wounds of being around narcissistic people. It triggered me so badly. I'm so happy that I did it anyway. And the result was not what I expected. I expected to be picked on by the teacher. I expected nobody to laugh, but I was going to stand strong within myself. But it turned out instead, I got the opposite. I got support. I felt empowered. It was a really wonderful experience and a beautiful learning experience for me.
That's incredible. That's an amazing story. I love how you stuck it out, right? You decided to dance with your fear, like, and stay in the class. And then what was on the other side of this? All of this empowerment and expansion and you know, and feeling great about what you did. And then now, you know, you've been through that, right? And so that must make it easier the next time.
I hope so. I will see. I still have three classes left, and my jokes were solid. I knew the two jokes that I did in class last week were solid. I knew they were. So even like I can kind of we talked last time about instincts a little bit, and I felt in my body these jokes. I can almost feel it in my body when a joke is. I know it's going to be solid, and I felt it. I'm like, these are solid jokes. So it's funny because I learned from last time we talked about when I went on stage. I knew intuitively that two jokes were not really going to go over well. And I did them anyway because I was trying not to be a perfectionist. And what you said was maybe it's not about being a perfectionist. Maybe that was your instinct saying those jokes aren't going to work.
Yeah,
So,
your intuition talking to you. Yeah.
and that was so helpful for me. So I've learned that now. And so I was driving down to New York City going over my jokes, and I could feel it in my body. And that would just help get in touch with my intuition. Like, oh no, these are solid. So I knew my jokes were solid, so I had that kind of confidence, even if no one else did. Like, I feel good about them. I think they're funny, so I'm going to say them. My jokes this week are still a work in progress, so it's still another kind of scared as fucking doing it anyway situation because they're
Yes.
not solid. I'm working on them. I think they can be, but I'm going to go up there, and it's still not warm and fuzzy. If your jokes aren't well rounded, it hurts a little bit. It's you're not going to in this class. You're not going to get that. But I see the possibility you're going to get, no, not great, but but it is what it is. I think it will all be a learning experience. So,
You're still doing it for you, so good for you, sister.
yeah, do it for me. And maybe I'll find the little pieces I need to complete the joke just by going up there. Maybe I'll take the ego hit of performing something that's not fully formed, but maybe I'll get like a little answer here, or light bulb go off here, or something. So it's
Yeah.
all good. It'll all kind of help in some way, be part of the journey.
Yeah. Amazing. I love that. Such great stories there with your comedy. And I can't wait to see where you take this. So, you know, the other thing that kind of came to mind when you were talking is the conversation we had about social media and how, you know, we can be so nervous to post things or go on and do lives or put reels out there of, you know, just us or, you know, sort of that aspect of being seen. And I think you were saying that you were, was it that you were worried about putting your jokes on social?
Yes, because they
Yeah.
weren't perfect. They weren't at perfect. There was the sound wasn't good, blah, blah, blah.
But if we think about if we think about social media as it's for us, right? Our profiles and what we put out there are for our own unique self-expression and not for everybody else. And that starts to take that pressure off, just like you saying, you know, I'm doing this for me, right? Instead of for the audience when you're getting up on stage and stuff like that, and you take that aspect of it out of it and you're just doing it for you, then we can look at social media that same way, right?
And when you said that on my podcast, it was so helpful for me. It like, because I was saying social media has always been hard for me. I never felt comfortable posting. I feel more comfortable acting or even doing stand up than posting on social media. But when you said that, you were sort of like, the social media is almost like your creative canvas, and it's for you to be creative and do what feels good for you. And it's for you. It's not for whoever's watching it. And it changed my whole, it really helped me. It changed my whole view on posting things. And that's exactly what I'm doing with comedy. That's my life lesson, my hope, because I've been the other way, so empathetic, so compassionate and caring. And I've done that. I know that way. I know that lesson, if you want to call it, really, really well. And now I feel like my lesson is coming back to myself and having it be more about me. And when I'm going on stage to doing comedy, I'm doing it because I love it, because I think this is funny, because I like being on stage, believe it or not. My trauma made that hard for me, but I was a born performer. I was born to perform, and I enjoy it. So I'm doing it because it feels like it's what I'm here to do, and I
Yeah.
feel lit up and alive, and if that can benefit someone, that's just the best ever. You know, if my joy and my love of humor, if I can spread that to others by being selfish, beautiful. You know, that's what I'm trying to do. That's what I'm focusing on. Because the minute I start to be concerned about, are other people going to like it? Is this going to be worth anything? It's not, then it's not worth it for me. Then my journey's not, the journey's not worth it anymore. It's coming back to myself and do it because you love it. You know, love yourself, go up there, love yourself. Sometimes the first time I went up there, I was so terrified. I literally, while I was saying my jokes, was just like repeating over and over again, like, love yourself, love yourself, love yourself. I love you. I love you. I love you. That's what got me through. You know, I think that self-love is so, it's so, it's so needed for me. I'm learning to that self-love, you know, and love yourself enough to do what you love. Love yourself enough to be seen doing what you love, to think that you are worthy enough to get on stage and take up space and have other people see you just because you love it, not because they're going to like it, because you love it. That has been revolutionary to me. And that's the only way I'm going to be able to live my purpose of comedy and acting and creativity. I won't be able to do it otherwise. And I won't want to do it otherwise. It won't be fun. It won't be worth it.
This, so I wrote this down. Love yourself enough to be seen doing what you love.
Yeah.
That's going to be for sure in the takeaways. That was amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. Which has been difficult for me because I was, not to get too much into it, but one particular person growing up in my life was always telling me how conceited I was because I was just this little performer. You know, when camcorders came out in the 80s, early 90s, I'd be like dancing in front, like, film me, film me. It's just how I was a born performer. And she wasn't, and she just she there was a lot there, but she would always tell me over and over again how conceited I was, how, you know, to want that, and how just bad I was. And I internalized all of that, and now it's like, well, if you're a born performers are supposed to be speaking, like, you're not supposed to be on stage being like, don't look at me, you know what I mean? So it's, I'm reclaiming that, and I'm healing all of that, and the worthiness of, exactly, you have enough worth to do what you love, have people see you do what you love. And that heals others. And others feel that they can do what they love and be seen, and we don't have to hide. I think it spreads. When you're kind to yourself, when you do it for yourself, you love yourself, then the next person knows I can do this too, and I can do what I love. Yeah.
It's not only an energetic, but it's but we're the example, right? So when we rise, the people around us rise too, right?
Yes.
Because we become that example, we show them it's possible, and then there's energy that carries, out from us into the world too. So, I'm just so happy that you're doing it, and I'm so sorry that that happened to you when you were younger.
Thank you. Yeah, I've really been looking deeply at all of this stuff, and it was intense. It was really intense, and it was tricky for me because, without getting too much into it, a lot of it was hidden. So I had a lot of friends in my neighborhood that it was obvious that they come from a really tough, we're talking domestic violence, police frequently out in front of their houses, drug use, a lot of physical abuse. You know, just it was obvious that those kids needed help. Anyway, a lot of it was hidden for me, and even I was a little bit brainwashed to it, and so it's been tricky. It's been a little bit, but realizing, like, wow, that was intense, and honoring that, and admitting it, and then just kind of loving that little person that went through that.
Absolutely. You said the unseen part, right? Like everyone else's, abuse or traumas were more seen visibly with yours, right? But the unseen is almost more hurtful and
Yes.
more traumatizing. And
Yes.
so we can, like, I'm comfortable getting into that if you are. In fact, I had it kind of on, I was wondering if the conversation would lead us there. And maybe you can talk a little bit about, more about what your trauma was, but I'm also interested in hearing about your healing journey and what has really helped you, start to heal, heal from all of that and allow yourself to be seen in these ways because that little performer in you is really who you're meant to be. That's your authentic self, like you were saying. And just like I was saying earlier, I'm trying to get more childlike and more playful and stuff because that's really who I am too, who we all are when we're young like that, before we were kind of shut down. That's who we really are. That's still inside of us.
Well, it's funny. So honestly, it was so much trauma. And it's the tricky part of it being not being seen, it was sort of hidden. And there's a lot of like gaslighting and brainwashing. And there's a lot of what it looked like on the outside compared to what was happening on the inside. And oh, where's that going? Hold on. Sorry, I just dropped my. Anyway, a lot of my life was. I've been on this very long healing journey, years and years, like no exaggeration. Probably half of my life has been deep healing. And that's shamanism and soul work and energy work and all different kinds of therapy, you know, just all different types of thing. But just recently, I happened to find a really good therapist and she's been helping so much. I've had therapists, just to put a disclaimer, they're not all great. You know, anybody can go to school and be, and I've had some that like, wow, you really probably shouldn't even, but they just didn't, let's just say they didn't mesh with me. But right now I found this really good therapist and she's really been helping me and I've slowly been getting clearer. And I was just always so hard on myself and always, you know, when you're told things aren't happening, when you're told they're not happening and you're a kid, after a while you believe they're not happening, you know, or you're told over and over again this message of like, it's you, you're the crazy one. You're getting met, or someone's telling you all the time, like, you're disgusting. I'm embarrassed of you. You're an embar If you're constantly getting these, you just believe them. And at some point, I did just believe that. I truly believed there was something wrong with me. I truly believed it. I did. And maybe deep down, you know, you are an embarrassment. You're not a good person. You are cra all of it. You just believe it. And then, coming out of that. And so it was interesting. It was like stages. Then I moved to the next stage of like, I didn't realize I was doing this after the fact, looking back. I was like, oh, I sort of accepted, oh yeah, you're a bad person, you know, but you're going to be you anyway. And you're going to get out there and you have a right to be yourself, even though you're bad. And then almost recently, I was like, you're not a bad person,
No.
you know, and just really just the, I don't know why, but lately the clouds have been parting and I've been getting clarity around this whole really muddled, hard to get clear on situation, and removing myself from certain people that would trigger me right back. At least, if not, I haven't really cut anyone off 100%, but really limiting, because when I'm in contact with those people, even though I'm so much stronger and I've done so much work, sometimes it's just a little too much, and it's easy to get pulled back down to when you're that little kid again.
Yes.
It's
Oh my
too
gosh.
vulnerable. And it's too hard to fight again, you know. So it's just been on my healing journey at least to get some space so that I can become my heal, come back to my true self and not get triggered back to that little girl who thought she was an embarrassment, who thought she was a piece of shit, basically, you know. And it was interesting because I got both. I got this weird contrast of you're like a piece of shit, you know, it's all you. And but you're also, then I got this other message of, you're so special. You're so wonderful. You're better than everyone. You're amazing. And both are damaging. Both messages are damaging. It's hard to see the positive one, but it's also just a message of separation. You know, you're better than everyone. Not, I wasn't, those weren't the words, you're better than everyone. But that kind of message of constant, I don't know if that was love bombing, but that constant of, you're so great. You're better than everyone else. Like, you're the most beautiful. You're the most, you're special. You're special. That was also damaging to me, I found. And I had to come back to, no, well, you know what? We're all really, really special. And we're all really messy and have our quote unquote bad parts too, for just lack of a better word. And I recently did this solo podcast that I'm going to post of, I struggle tremendously with like, with deep anxiety. And I did a lot of healing around that. But the podcast has been helping me heal, even though it's so messy. It's so perfect. But just the message of, yeah, you're not perfect. You are so messy. you sometimes you're going to be defensive, or and you're not going to hear someone's message, or maybe you attack someone because you thought they attacked you, or you're not always going to be this perfect person. You are going to be human and messy, and guess what? You belong here. That's okay. You don't have to even hide that. You still have a place here because we all do. And no matter what it looks like, everyone is messy and has that human side that is less than perfect. And I can't find the word. I don't want to say dirty, but just that kind of like lower humanness, which is, it's okay. And we're also like, I wasn't allowed to have, I almost felt like I couldn't have that messy part, but I also couldn't have the beautiful, magnificent part, oddly. So accepting both of that, I had some jealous people in my life growing up that actually wanted to tear me down. They actively tried to bring me down, and I couldn't, you know, they weren't, I was a kid, I couldn't get away from them. So whenever I tried to shine or do well, I was being punished or torn down. And it wasn't really acceptable to be human either. So there, you couldn't be either. And just the healing of this podcast, of that solo episode, it's short, it's like 12 minutes, but just realizing my humanness is welcome here. I belong here. It's okay. And my magnificence belongs here too. That is okay. All of it is okay. And for all of us, and we all belong. It, just the healing of that was really powerful when I started to realize that you don't have to hide either.
No, and it's about accepting all of those pieces and parts of us, right? And loving all of them because, like you said, we're human. We're meant to experience all of it. We're meant to have all of the range of human emotions and all of the highs and all of the lows. Because the contrast in that is what makes the lighter and more lovely and more magnificent parts all the better, right? And so, like, we wouldn't know all the magnificence if we didn't have the lower, vibrations or emotions or some of those, like, I'm having a hard time finding the word too, but we wouldn't know the magnificence of all of the great and the greatness of all of the good things if we didn't also have if we didn't have the contrast of, the lower end of that spectrum.
And not hiding and not having to hide that lower part of the spectrum, being ashamed of it, keeping it in the dark, not wanting people to see it. That's really, I mean, it's tricky because what, when I, okay.
It can mess you up, right?
Well, really, it's scary to show those parts. I'm not sure our world in the past has been really welcoming of those parts. One person makes a mistake in public and it's like they're done for, you know, I'm not sure we've been very welcoming, but I think that needs to change. I think we all need to heal. We all need to say as a mass society that, look, we're all going to make mistakes. Doesn't mean that person, depending on who the person, you know, depending on the situation, doesn't mean if we make a mistake that means our whole character is just we're dark, horrible beings. We're all this. And I think if we all recognize it in ourselves, it's not so scary and we can all laugh about it. I found laughing about our humanness is the best it ever gets. That's the best humor. It's the best jokes for me. That's my kind of humor, like bringing that light to it. And we can all relate, you know, when you do something embarrassing or you say something you shouldn't, or to me, that's the funniest humor. And we can all relate to that. And for me personally, when something really embarrassing or I do something that's like, oh God, I'm cringing at myself, I always am like, but this is going to be so funny. We are going to be able to laugh about this and be able to, you know, this will be a really funny joke. And to me, it's then it hasn't gone to waste because humor, it's like that alchemy. We took something, it was like, and then it was like that alchemy into something. Humor is so beautiful. Laughter is like, to me, is such a spiritual, beautiful thing. And so it's combining the two. And it makes this beautiful spiritual humor, you know? It's just really beautiful.
I love that you use the word alchemy. Because and I know that feeling too of like making an embarrassing mistake and wanting to like crawl in a hole and like die. And I'm thankfully come far on my healing journey as well. And so I'm able to just like deal with those things so much better. And it takes each one of us doing that internal work, right, in order for our culture and our society to end up being more understanding about that, right? Because it all starts within each individual and doing our work around that. Now I can make mistakes, bigger mistakes, that are seen, like on the podcast and things like that. Like when I earlier when I was kind of fumbling with my words. I'm not going to edit that out. You know, it is what it is. It's humanist. It's authentic. It's what I was going through in the moment. And so I'm able to just deal with those things more quickly or more easily, I guess. Not quickly. And I love that you use the word alchemy in that because that's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not to be afraid of those parts. It's something we all truly can't. Nobody, not one person, no matter how perfect their Instagram looks or how perfect their hair and their body, whatever, everyone knows that. We all are connected through that. And I think that's kind of a beautiful thing. It's silly that we're all pretending we don't have it. It's kind of silly that we're all pretending that never happens to us ever. And I think that's what's so beautiful about comedy. That's a place where you can bring up all that dark stuff and we can all agree that we are all laughing because we all know it and we all share in this. And it's kind of bringing it up from the darkness, be like, we can laugh at it. You know, this doesn't have to stay hidden in the bowels of like, you know, like society or whatever. I think that's so. That's what I love that about comedy. It used to, comedy, especially in the 80s and 90s, was a place where anything goes. And I just love that about the art. Not so much anymore. And some of that's good. You know, some of it's good because some of it was really dark and kind of hatred and just spewing more of darkness, in my opinion, out to the world. But some of it was kind of doing that alchemy and bringing it up. And a lot of that is canceled now. And that's kind of a shame because it wasn't doing what people thought it was doing. A lot of it was just healing it, in my opinion, depending on what it was. But anyway, I just think it's such a beautiful art form, stand-up comedy.
So I know we didn't talk about this ahead of time, so it's kind of putting you on the spot, but would you share a joke or two with us?
Oh my God, no, I'm not. Yeah,
Okay.
I can't.
Okay.
Well, okay. All right, here's one. Let me think of one. It's harder. It's different than when you're not. It's different than when you're on stage, but let me think if I can do one. I have a political one that's really early. It was like my first joke, and it might offend some people. I don't do it anymore because it's not, again, it's 7 years old. It's not where I am anymore, and the politics have changed. So I don't think I'll do this on stage. And there's a lot of curse words. No, maybe I won't do that one.
Okay, it's up to you.
The one I did last time was this is just a simple one. I say, so my 3-year-old started saying the F word. You saw this one on, I think, because I posted it. Because this was from my last set. But I go, so my 3-year-old recently started saying the F word. And the first time I heard her saying it, she was in the other room getting ready for gymnastics. And I hear her say, I love gymnastics. It's so fucking fun. And I was like, oh my gosh, just ignore it and it will go away. But then we were in the chiropractor's office and there were ants on the floor in the lobby. And she goes, look, fucking ants. What is going on with her? But the worst was we were in the grocery store and the cashier was just going really slow. And she goes, this fucking lady. And I'm not sure where she's getting this from. I'm so sorry. And then I look to Francesca. I go, Francesca, you're gonna need to fucking apologize.
Oh, that's a good one. I like it.
That's one of my newer ones, but as I go, obviously you get better, you know, as you keep doing it messy and imperfectly, your jokes get better, you know, you get better at it. So hopefully I have a new joke about comparing Boston and New York, and I love this one. I think that's a really good joke, but I won't do it now, but
No.
no, because it's a new, I think I don't have it down yet. I might botch it because that's the one I did at the last class that I feel really solid about. I think
Okay.
it's so good. I think it's so funny. And I see how my jokes are evolving and getting better, but it's new enough where I don't feel, I might mess it. You know, I don't have it down yet.
Okay.
I gotta
Well,
practice.
thanks for sharing the other one with us.
Sure,
It
yes.
was cute. It reminds me of the first time my daughter has said the F word when she was 2.5. So,
Oh gosh, yeah. It also was funny though. Like some of my mom friends did not. I sort of thought it was cute, and I knew it was going to go away. I wasn't worried about it, you know. But some of my mom friends were really like, oh, she shouldn't. What if she, I was just more relaxed about it. I'm like, it's fine, you know. But some people get really freaked out about curse words. It was actually cute to hear a 3-year-old say it in her little voice. You know, it was cute.
It's all of what's been passed down. You know what I mean? With all that kind of stuff.
So yeah, it's I really wish that we would all start to evaluate what really matters to us and what do we really think about things versus what we've been told all the years, you know? Because we might find that we think a lot differently and we're not as uptight about a lot of stuff like that. But maybe some people still are. I don't know.
I don't know. I guess, I guess if you grow up that way and it seems like a really bad thing, it's like a, or some people even think it kind of shows on your character. I don't know, like you're not educated or something. I just didn't grow up that way. We grew up in New York and my mom cursed all the time, pick up this shit over here. Like it just, she was Italian. It was just part of it. It wasn't, I don't know. I don't know. Just, yeah.
I'm super laid back about it too. But that's not everybody, and that's okay too. So yeah. Gosh, you know, I there's one question I kind of want to go back to that I had for you. Because I'm just curious about it. You said that you have a really good therapist and that you've had other therapists, you know, before that aren't good. Can you say just a couple of things, like what is so good about the therapist that you have now? What's the differentiation? What's different about it, about her or how she works?
That's a good question. It's tricky for me. I'm very intuitive and I'm fair, and it's just kind of a resonance I have with her. And I feel it's a feeling of safety. My alarm bells aren't going off. I feel like I can talk to her openly and honestly, and I just have this feeling of safety with her that I know she's not going to misunderstand or be shocked by something I say or take something the wrong way or come at me. I've had therapists that like just they were like or this was a coach, sorry, this wasn't a therapist, this was a coach, so not the same training and everything, but just, I mean, I said something in innocence and she just, wow, she really came at me and like attacked me. I was like, whoa, this is so unexpected. I didn't know, I had to apologize. It was like, it just, that wasn't a safe environment. She was too prickly. She was too insecure, honestly, with herself. It was like I said one wrong thing. And this therapist, it's more of a feeling. I feel really safe with her. I feel like I can tell her anything. The feedback she gives me is on point. She can see things that I can't see. She can see, I talk to her openly and honestly, and she can find the shadow that I don't see, and she brings it up. I'm like, oh my God, I would not, thank you. I wouldn't have seen that. And she's kind. But she'll also tell it to me straight. So she's, and I'm okay with that. I don't, as long as someone's not being abusive or me, attacking, there's a difference, but she will tell it to me straight. And I like that. I don't mind that. So, but she's telling it to me straight, not, but it's clean, if that makes sense. Straight in the, I'm better than you, or I'm bullying you, or how could you not know this? It's a very clean, I'm just telling you. And I appreciate that. I'm like, oh God, I'm learning so much from her because she sees my blind spots where I can't see.
The reflection, that reflection that happens. I love that. It's a beautiful thing when that happens.
And I just like her as a person. We can even joke sometimes and laugh together. And so it's really easy. It's not, it's almost like she's a friend, but she has this training and this background as a therapist, and she, it's like a friend, but it's all about, but it's not, therapy's not two way almost, but it does feel like a friend where it's not like it's a hierarchy where she's the therapist and I'm the patient. So it's nice. It feels like we're on the same level and we just kind of are talking. It's like a friend that's really insightful and really into my situation. So it's really good. It's really been helpful.
Yeah, and that safety aspect, when you said that word, I was like, oh, yeah, that's really, really important to have that feeling, is whether you're working with a coach or a therapist, it's really important to have that feeling of safety and to be getting that that mirror reflection back, right, of the things that you can't see yourself. So thanks for sharing that. I appreciate it. And thank you so much for being on. Like, this has been such a great conversation. I love that it was a big focus on your comedy and how, you know, your journey with that, because, you know, we were able to bring in so many things about healing and spirituality and all of that, all wrapped up in that topic. So
I really love it. It's It's more than, I mean, even if I never do anything with this stand-up comedy, comedy will always be a huge, laughing and comedy will always be a huge part of my life forever, for the till the day I die. And the people who kind of, I feel like there's people who kind of are that way. They're like, they get comedy, and then there's people who enjoy comedy, but I will always try to surround myself with those people who are, who just, they get the comedy. You know, we have that, and it's just the best ever when you click with someone in that way, and the banter, and it's just such a beautiful thing. Anyway, I'll
Yeah.
stop rambling. But yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Tell everybody where they can check you out, where they can find you.
Okay, so you can find my comedy on YouTube, and that's just at Marissa Lapadura Comedy, and Lapadura is exactly how it sounds, Lapadura. So my comedy's on at Marissa Lapadura Comedy. My Instagram is Embrace Failure, Welcome Success, and that's my podcast name. And then YouTube, my podcast is on YouTube at Embrace Failure Podcast. And then my personal Instagram and Facebook is just my name, Marissa Lapidura. So any of those places, you can find me.
Nice. Check her out and listen to those jokes because she's got some good ones. And you'll continue to post and share, right?
Yes, I will.
Yeah,
Yeah.
good. I'm looking forward to watching your journey and staying connected with you.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'll be applying to some festivals, my first comedy festivals. I'll be applying, so hopefully I'll be getting out there more.
Amazing. Good for you.
Yeah, we'll see. It'll hopefully, if anything, it'll be a really fun, beautiful journey. If anything, I won't be on the sidelines. Like
That's right.
I'll be in it.
In it, doing it. I love it. All right. Thank you so much again for being on, Marissa.
Yes, thanks for having me, Paula. I really appreciate it. Okay.
Have a good rest of your day.
Thank you. You too. Okay, bye.
Isn't she such a sweetheart? I loved our conversation and just her openness to share her journey. I love how she's following what's in her heart and what lights her up. And I really can't wait to see her on a big comedy stages one day soon. Because we all know that when we're following our heart's desires, the universe meets us and provides what we want and need. So I know that's going to happen for her too. Okay, here are the takeaways from our conversation. Number one, laughter is healing, humor is alchemy. Number two, anger can give you the courage to do things you wouldn't normally do. Number three, all you need are the 20 seconds of courage that it takes to take the first step. The actual steps aren't hard. Number four, stop carrying things for other people. Put the focus on you and your journey instead of what everyone else thinks. Number five, go inside and find your joy. When you are true to yourself, it benefits everyone. Number six, when you dance with your fear instead of avoiding it, you will find empowerment, expansion, and peace on the other side. Number seven, come back home to yourself by doing the things that fill you up and make you come alive. Number eight, love yourself enough to do what you love. Love yourself enough to be seen doing what you love. Number nine, it's okay to remove people from your life or limit contact with them if they trigger you or pull you down. Number 10, your messy humanness and your magnificence both belong here. Ooh, I love that one. Hey, have you guys tried Mud Water yet? It's the coffee replacement drink I have every morning, and I love it with a little honey and oat milk. I started drinking it a couple years ago when I was kicking all of my addictions. And two of the best things that I love about it are that it's organic and that it's made with mushrooms, so it has tons of health benefits. The best part is you can get 15% off using my link, which is mudwater.com/Paula Schuster. That's MUDWTR.com/PaulaSchuster. I'll put a link in the show notes too. It was really fucking awesome hanging out with you again today, and I look forward to next week on the Scared as Fuck and Doing It Anyway podcast. Thanks for being here. You know, I just appreciate you taking some time, some of your precious time to be here with me. I hope that my podcast helps you in some way. I hope it fills you up and inspires you or sheds new light on things. And I hope this particular episode helps you laugh and have more fun and heal and connect through humor. You know, I would love to hear from you.
I would love to connect with you. That's really the main reason why I started this podcast, is because I want to connect with more people. And so, reach out and let's just talk and connect, and we can talk about the podcast or not. It doesn't matter. You can always reach me at paula@reikiflowmn.com. It would be totally fucking cool if you left me a review on Apple Podcasts. Reviews are like the freaking best because they really fill my heart and they help others find the podcast too, which literally helps me keep the podcast going. If you leave ratings on Spotify, that also helps. That would be awesome. And remember to follow along on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening, because I have so many more incredible episodes coming up. And please download, follow, or subscribe. And if you know of anyone who would like this episode or any of the other episodes or benefit from them, please share it with them. Send them a link, text them about it. If you're feeling extra generous, post it on your socials. That would be cool. And you're always welcome to email me with ideas and feedback. And I don't know, like, what do you want? What do you want more of? I mean, do you like the interviews? Do you want to hear more of me and my story and me doing solo episodes? Who do you want to hear from? It would be great to get some feedback. All right. Thanks again for being here. I love you all so much. Peace out.